You're listening to RN Breakfast. Fran Kelly with you on this Monday morning, and the moment of truth for the latest effort to try and end the decade-long energy and climate wars is fast approaching. The Labor states and territories will spend the next few days formalising their positions ahead of Friday's make-or-break talks on the National Energy Guarantee, otherwise known as the NEG. But they're already threatening to scuttle the deal unless there's a guarantee that the plan will survive the fractured coalition party room. The major sticking points are the low ambition, 26% emissions reduction target, and the mechanism for lifting the target, if that's the recommendation, of a review slated for 2024. The Federal Energy and Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg, has the difficult task of trying to land this agreement. He joins us from Melbourne this morning. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
The Labor states, Victoria and Queensland in particular, say they won't sign up to the NEG until they have a guarantee from you that the policy will pass the coalition party room. Will you be able to give them that assurance when you meet them on Friday?
Well, this is politicking and posturing ahead of Friday's meeting, because the states know all well and good that what will hopefully occur on Friday is that we agree to the design of the National Energy Guarantee subject to a phone hookup after the policy has been through the federal coalition party room. Then the draft legislation is released for comment. That goes for a period of 4 weeks. Any changes as necessary will be made, and then a final tick-off will be required from the state. So there's still some time to go, but importantly, we've seen a broad cross-section of industry and consumer groups coming out strongly in support of the National Energy Guarantee, saying any delay will be denying people lower power prices.
Okay, but one of your colleagues, Craig Kelly, has already flagged changes to the scheme when the party room meets Tuesday of next week. So why not just wait for the states? Why have a meeting when more changes are being flagged? You can see what their point. I mean, it might be politics, but they do have a point, don't they?
Well, the party room has already strongly supported the National Energy Guarantee.
Well, there's plenty of people not supporting it.
With those key components. There are some usual voices, but by and large, there is strong, overwhelming support in the coalition party room for this policy. And we saw on the weekend former Prime Minister John Howard come out in support of the National Energy Guarantee too. So my colleagues have been briefed, Fran, by the large miners, the manufacturers, the Australian industry group, the farmers, and they've been told very unequivocally that in order to lower power prices and increase the stability of the system, we need the National Energy Guarantee. And so anybody who opposes the National Energy Guarantee will be condemning the families and businesses of Australia to higher power prices than they would otherwise have paid.
I'll come to the usual voices in a moment, but the Labor stakes are flagging a range of demands. The target can only be increased, not decreased. The target should be reviewed every 3 years, not every 5. Are you willing to negotiate on these issues if it means landing the deal?
Well, this relates to the emissions trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Now, many people say is not ambitious enough.
Well, firstly, the report of the Independent Energy Security Board makes clear that an additional 38 million tonnes of abatement will occur under the government's target, and that without a concrete mechanism in place, there is no guarantee that emissions reduction will follow.
But according to the ESB, we're at 24% without the NEG, and then your ambition is 26%. That's 2% ambition.
Well, it's a 38 million tonne
reduction. So 2% ambition.
It's a 38 million tonne reduction, but importantly, it's a $550 annual saving to Australian households and a 20% reduction in wholesale prices. But going back to your question, the clear statement of the ESB and the Commonwealth right throughout this process is that the Turnbull government, as the signatory to the Paris Agreement, is the party that determines the trajectory. Nothing in this policy prevents the states from having their own renewable energy targets. They complement what is being done at the federal level. But we do need the federal government to maintain whole responsibility for this, because it's a national problem and it requires a national solution, and it's the federal government that is the signatory to Paris, not the states.
But those wanting to sign on, or those thinking about signing on, want to know whether that ambition can be revised up and not down. I mean, you've already given a concession. The target will be reviewed in 2024 to ensure it remains appropriate.
Can I say, you've just said it yourself. If it's going to be 24% on BAU by 2030, it's not going to be negotiated down.
We've made it very clear. And can it be negotiated up? That's the point. And does that have
absolutely
to be done by legislation or regulation?
Well, two things. Firstly, there is a review that we have committed to holding in 2024 to change the targets potentially from 2025 to 2030. There will be a process in place, but the states wanted a review and we're happy to provide it.
And they'd like it by regulation, not legislation.
Well, do you know why they want it by regulation? Because the Labor Party doesn't want to have to deal with the Greens to change the legislation. But when it came to the renewable energy...
Well, and the Senate crossbench more generally, presumably, which you've got a lot of experience with, it's not easy.
But Fran, when Labor was last in government during the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd years, they legislated twice for the renewable energy target. They chose specifically not to go to regulation because they said the sector needed investment certainty. The same applies here. You can't just...
So that's your position.
Our position is that it should be in legislation, not regulation. You can't just flick a switch to turn a target from 26% to 45% with all the subsequent consequences that will mean for the energy companies. We have a very clear recommendation from the Energy Security Board that this policy is the best in the world. Mark Butler, the Labor spokesman, has described it in his own words as a very positive, as a very good, as a Rolls-Royce design. They're his words. It's time that the Labor Party stop fluffing around, put the national interest first, no longer prolong these partisan wars, and actually agree to a sustainable, durable policy that will deliver lower power prices.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Federal Energy and Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg. Talk about partisan wars and usual suspects. What about the pressures within your own camp? Because you mentioned there the $550 price cut. Tony Abbott, when he looked at that, said wrong, completely implausible, pigs might fly.
Well, we're going off...
Are you advising your colleagues not to listen to Tony Abbott?
I'm advising my colleagues to listen to the experts, as we should always do so. And the Independent Energy Security Board are made up of the foremost energy experts in the country. And anybody who's against the National Energy Guarantee is turning their back on those experts. And if the Labor states were seeking to delay or to obstruct the National Energy Guarantee, they will be held to blame.
What about Tony
for the
Abbott?
Higher power prices.
What's he doing? It's got to the point where he'll say and do anything to sink the NEG, is opposition for opposition's sake. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying Prime Minister Turnbull, myself as the Energy Minister, the Cabinet of Australia, as well as a strong cross-section of support in my party room, backing the National Energy Guarantee. That is a good sign of where the discussions will go in the party room, but we do need the states to sign on.
Craig Kelly, before I leave this, Craig Kelly, who chairs the government's backbench energy committee, wants you to commit to a type of NEG Plus plan. We spoke to the Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud. He also referred to NEG Plus today. What would that involve? I understand it's the recommendation of the ACCC suggesting the government should underwrite competition in the generation sector, including coal. Is that what you'll be promising to the party room on Tuesday?
Well, it's always been the position of the government that the NEG itself is not a silver bullet. It directly targets the wholesale price, but as you know, there's a whole series of other elements to the supply chain when it comes to energy. That's why we took legislation successfully through the parliament to abolish the ability of the networks to game the system. That's why the Prime Minister sat down with the retailers and got a better deal for millions of Australians, and that's why we've got more gas into the system by putting restrictions
on
the ability of companies.
So what will NEG Plus be? Can you help us understand that?
So what my colleagues and the Prime Minister and I are talking about here is taking the ACCC's recommendations, and there were 56 of them, 6 related only to the Commonwealth's responsibility, 9 to the states, and the rest were joint federal and state responsibilities. It's on the agenda for the discussion with the COAG Energy Ministers this Friday, but there are some very positive recommendations in there that the government would like to move forward with.
Now, including one of those, the government underwriting competition in the generation sector.
One of them is to deal with the market failure that you've just spoken about, which is specifically for generators not the big three, because they've got a big retail book that they can use to underwrite the finance for new generation, but new entrants into the market who can't gain access to finance because they can't get an offtake agreement with a large energy user for beyond 5 years. So the banks say to them, we need you to have a customer for 15 years as opposed to 5 years in order for us to give finance. What Rod Sims has said is this is a market failure, and that this will require the Commonwealth potentially to provide a level of support and guarantee to allow those new generators to come to the market. That's a tick for competition, it's a tick for lower prices, and it's a tick for more reliability and dispatchable power.
So the government will consider that, and it could be an underwriting of a coal generation. It could be
Rod Sims has made very clear, and the government's position is exactly the same. We're technology neutral. It could be a whole series of technologies, including both thermal generation and renewables.
Okay. Just finally, the Barrier Reef, an issue starting to generate some heat around the government, that $440 million grant to the corporate-backed Great Barrier Reef Foundation, almost $500 million to a foundation that we now know never asked for the money. The money was handed over without a tender. You were at the meeting when the Prime Minister offered the grant. It's still a mystery. Why are you giving such a large sum to a private group to do the work that, for instance, the Environment Department previously did? Why?
Well, the Commonwealth is making a record $500 million investment in the Great Barrier Reef, and this has been backed by the Marine Park Authority, by Australia's
Chief
Scientist.
So why through one small philanthropic organisation?
Well, because they are the best organisation to leverage off the private sector. Now, they've raised more than $80 million themselves.
Well, that's contested in the Sydney Morning Herald today. I'm sure you've seen that.
Can I just say, they have raised tens of millions of dollars from the private sector. They are made up of scientists as well as philanthropists. They are made up of people that the Labor Party, Fran, backed when they were in government. Tony Burke, then Environment Minister, put out a press release in 2012 which said very clearly, we are giving money to the Great Barrier Reef Foundation to protect the unique values of the reef.
That was one
so
grant, not the whole grant sum.
No, because the money will go through the reef to our scientists to ensure that they can protect and develop a more heat-resistant coral. It will go to our farmers so they can reduce the pesticide, nitrogen.
But, Minister, can I just clarify this? Is it, as the opposition says, that CSIRO researchers now will be coming to this philanthropic foundation for scientific research money?
Nothing is as the Labor Party says, because this is only a distraction from the Labor Party's failure when they were in office to do anything to invest on the reef. That's why it went on the endangered watch list. That's why they had 5 dredge disposal projects. That's why they're embarrassed by their record.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Josh Frydenberg is the Federal Energy and Environment Minister.